Welcome back once again. It is the Pride of Detroit podcast, the podcast. I am Christopher Lemieux, writer for Pride of Detroit. Find me on Twitter at MalkovichPlan. I'm joined here by Ryan Matthews and Alex Reno. Hello, Ryan.
What's going on, Chris? What's going on, Alex? I'm happy to be here for my third consecutive week. I'm drinking Labatt Blue Light. I'm keeping it light. What's going on? What's going on, Alex?
Well, I'm drinking Miller Lite. I also have some Shiner here. And if I make it to it, which I hope not, I have a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
And I have Brooklyn Brand East IPA in my hand. So that's our beer out of the way right there. We are going to talk a lot of Lions on this podcast. It's been a demand to try to focus and have some structure. So guess what? We have structure this time, and I'm actually taking notes as to where you could find stuff.
For now, we have structure for now.
We'll see how the plan holds up upon inception. Let's get to what we're calling tentatively quick hits. There's nothing really Lions-themed about this section, except we're just going to go around some newsworthy things. Maybe not all Lions things. First off, our old friend Ndamukong Suh has been accused of freelancing in Miami, that he is ignoring commands from the defensive coordinator there, which, knowing the situation with the Miami Dolphins coaching staff, which is the greatest experiment in non-coaching, I think that's pretty wise.
Yeah, I think Joe Philbin pretty much put that fire out too, though. Like, didn't he mention that he went back and watched the tape and he said that they were, like, the offenses just weren't playing to Sue's side. So, like, he wasn't doing anything.
He was still getting double teamed that whole game, too.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean,
I'm not 100% aware of exactly what happened. Like, who reported this in the first place?
I have no clue, but it just feels like someone's upset that they lost to the Jaguars.
That's no kidding. I'm not entirely surprised that there's a Sue doing who knows what, being a bad person, yada, yada, yada. But it just seems kind of ridiculous in the first place, because that never happened with Detroit, though. Like, he was pretty compliant.
Right, it's just
it's kind of a weird situation.
The coaching staff in Miami is a little weird, though. It's just...
Philbin does kind of seem like a pushover, I guess.
Plus, I mean, Troy Polamalu always freelanced, so take that as you will, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you want somebody to freelance, Sue might be that guy to just do whatever he wants, since he's freaking good at football.
The Kellen Moore, by the way, Kellen Moore, we last saw him, the third string quarterback for the Detroit Lions, last saw him in Dallas. He got called up from the practice squad. Tony Romo is basically, what is it, 6 weeks, 8 weeks now? He's on IR.
Around 8 weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
Broken clavicle, right?
Broken clavicle.
Same one, I think. Same one.
But Kellen Moore was called up from from the practice squad. It looks like, all right, this is it. He's going to be back up to Brandon Whedon, who, if you've watched any of Brandon Whedon, it's a good chance Brandon Whedon will get benched for someone else.
To his credit, though, he came in.
He did all right. However, the Kellen Moore era was over in about 5 seconds, because then the Cowboys traded for Matt Cassel. If that isn't just Matt Cassel and Brandon Whedon.
I mean, I think everybody kind of thought that maybe Kellen Moore's time to shine would have been in this situation when he gets called up by the practice squad, because he'd be reunited once again with Scott Linehan, who it always kind of seemed like maybe Moore chill out, Alex. It seemed like if you guys haven't read Alex's open apology letter to Scott Linehan.
Shameless plug there.
I did it for you, though, buddy. But anyway, so as I was saying, like, everybody maybe thought this was Moore's time to reunite with Linehan, who always kind of seemed like he was a bit of a pet project that kind of stuck around. But Brandon Whedon! Yay, Dallas Cowboy fans. Look forward to Brandon Whedon and Matt Cassel, who couldn't even beat out Tyrod Taylor. So.
And no Des Bryant.
Yeah, but we all know Kellen Moore would be worse, so, I mean, it's... It could be worse. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't like a just give him a chance scenario. We know who Kellen Moore is. We know.
And I don't feel bad, because I don't expect Boise State fans to be listening to this podcast anymore.
So. No. Yeah. They all jumped ship after Kellen Moore left town.
They're gone.
Rams, by the way, apparently Terry Bradshaw. I'm not sure who's giving Terry Bradshaw inside information. Maybe Jay Glazer. Terry Bradshaw says the St. Louis Rams are 100% gone, quote unquote. He says all the Fox guys are hearing they're moving, which is surprising to me. I thought that was going to be Chargers Raiders, which means one of them is going to get screwed out of their sweet deal to move to Los Angeles. And I will bet you guys all the money in the world that the one getting screwed is going to be the Raiders.
I mean, since I don't have all the, if I don't have, I mean, seeing as I don't have all the money in the world to bet, I'll take that bet because I honestly, I think it's going to be the Raiders still.
You still think the Raiders are going to move?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not basing that off anything like, I'm basing that off anything other than intuition and the fact that I want the Raiders to be back in Los Angeles.
I do too, but I'm basing that off of my belief that the NFL will find any way to screw over the Davis clan however they can.
You might be right.
You might be right. You're probably right. I just want to see the LA Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one story that I just couldn't care less about, so I don't really know a whole lot about it. But are there any other spots other than LA that teams would be moving to?
Well, St. Louis now.
Well, yeah, I guess.
The St. Louis Raiders. No, see, that's not going to work. How about the Mexico City Raiders?
I mean, where can you, like, unless San Diego is vacant, like, what's the new,
Vegas, right?
Oh, God, don't get me started on Vegas. Like, I'm following that whole NHL saga, and I'm just like, ugh.
Let's talk about hockey.
Let's talk about the Lions, actually. We do have two more on the quick hits that are Lions related. Matthew Stafford seems to be back in full practice for 2 days now. We're recording this on Thursday. I am still going to be terrified of his injury, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Once we get to the Broncos, man.
Yeah, his chest. I'm just terrified for his chest. We'll talk about that in the post-mortem coming up here about Minnesota. And then, let's see, just injury notes from today. So Ziggy Ansah was limited today. He didn't practice on Wednesday. That terrifies me in many ways.
That's bad news.
Yeah, considering he's been like the best pass rush that we have right now.
And the best run defender really on the line.
Yeah, yeah, just everything. And just DeAndre Levy's still not practicing, even though he says he's going to be back.
I don't think he's coming back anytime soon, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Chilean parasites.
I'm Captain Optimism of this podcast, which is why I need to be here every week. Waddle's going to be back. I mean, we don't know if he's starting. I mean, I pray that he's starting Lucas doesn't block Warford again on another play this week.
Oh no.
Yeah, Lucas is also limited with an ankle sprain, so I...
He hurt his ankle on the opening drive in Minnesota, didn't he?
Maybe. I don't know about that.
Maybe. I don't remember hearing that.
I mean, he played so bad that I'm hoping he hurt his ankle.
I'm hoping there's something wrong with
so he has an excuse for it.
Meanwhile, like, every safety we have is nursing some injury.
Yeah, I don't pray for anybody to get hurt, but, man, he needs to not be in the game.
Lucas, yeah.
All right. Can we talk about Minnesota?
Let's get this out of the way. I'm just marking down the time so our people can finally have the chapters they're asking for 8:30. So the Minnesota Vikings, that was a bad game.
It was a very bad game.
Okay, that's over with.
That's it. All right. We talked about the Vikings game. Let me just say, I guess, like, the quick, like, response, like, while I was watching the game, the only thing I could think was, man, this is, like, the sloppiest football I've seen in a long time. Like, from both sides, to an extent. I mean, Peterson was fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
The Lions were fumbling the ball.
We only got it once.
That win covers over the fact that Peterson fumbled the ball, what, three times? Five times?
I think it was three times. Didn't we only recovered it once, but then the other time it was reversed, right?
Yeah.
Like we recovered it technically twice, but one was reversed. They picked up one of them and then we got the other one.
Yeah, he was sloppy there, but that's definitely a far cry from the Peterson from the 49ers game, so.
Yeah, like despite his 199 total yards, I really don't think he looks like Adrian Peterson right now.
That's age. That's, you know, that's not
like, something. The 49-yard reception was a total fluke play. I mean, kudos to Teddy Bridgewater for getting the ball off.
Yeah, that play haunts me. That is a play that will like shiver down your soul just watching Teddy Bridgewater pull that.
I was like, man.
Well, do you guys think that it's just like him like knocking off the rust? I mean, he didn't play any preseason snaps, yeah. I don't think, right? So I mean, like exactly he had the entire year off. I mean, I feel like he's probably just tuning up anymore.
Yeah,
I think it's partly that. Partly it seemed that the Vikings kind of knocked it off with all the shotgun plays when they wanted to run Peterson and realized that Peterson knows how to run out of the I formation, and they were giving that to him. Rather than asking him to run out of the shotgun, which is what he did on Monday night against.
I don't want to be the guy that makes like a ton of excuses or anything, but like a lot of his big plays were him bouncing to the outside, and I swear to Jesus that there were a lot of holdings there. There was so many holding calls that they missed. It was just
the edge was especially bad for the Lions.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, they couldn't do anything there, and then you're just letting Bridgewater beat you through the air then. And
I mean, he threw it 18 times, completed 14 passes, and that's all unreal. He had to do. Yeah.
And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, once again, this offensive line is just crumbling.
Crumbling.
Like, we talked about Lucas before. I do not want to bring him up again, but, I mean, I think the amazing thing is that Stafford didn't get sacked until like 5 minutes left in that game, and yet we all saw how many times he just kept getting hit.
Okay.
I highlighted a play, like it was in the first quarter, and they brought a 3-man rush, and they still got to Stafford within 4 seconds and forced him to throw it to Calvin Johnson out of bounds. Like, it was pathetic.
It was rough. I mean, it seemed like every time I looked up at the TV screen, Stafford was sitting on the turf.
Dying.
Yeah, my recap, the URL, I customized it to put at the end, "Oh no, Stafford, please send help," because I was terrified that Stafford was done. I was terrified that Stafford was done for a while. Just, you know, like, they kept taping up his arm. It was like they're trying to patch this Texas Bot 9000 back together, try to get him back out there, you know, and, like, I contacted
that recovery water, man.
Yeah, I contacted my friend who covers like Texas high school football. I'm like, look, do they have one more of those from the high school? I forget. He's from the same high school as Bobby Lane. So, Highland Park. Yeah, I was like, do you have another from Highland Park you can just send us right now? Because this model is breaking. This is bad. Model.
I mean, kind of shocked that he even made it to full practice this week. Like, after that game, I thought that there was a legitimate chance that he wasn't going to play. Like, it looked bad.
I heard ribs getting examined. I'm like, oh, no. Like, this is...
Yeah, did you see the Monday morning quarterback thing where Peter King was talking about how Kyle Mahnke was in the locker room and he was describing Stafford's injuries as, like, a blue toe, a couple more of his toes were like patched up or something, and like his arms just looked terrible, like there were bruises everywhere, and he had to wear sleeves at the press conference. Like, it just seemed bad.
Well, I mean, that all makes sense given the fact that Lucas blocked Warford. Like, that's gonna be my lasting image. That's gonna be my lasting image that from is... that game is Lucas blocking Warford, and like, that's the Minnesota game. That's the Minnesota game, and also it seemed like Matt Stafford was also complaining about a lot of pass interference calls, a lot of PI calls that didn't get called. Was
complaining.
Alex, you watch a lot of college football. You might know what I'm talking about. Every time I saw Lucas blocking Warford, all I could think about was when Florida lost to Georgia Southern, those two Florida defenders that like tackled each other.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I mean, that happens quite a few times in college, though. But again, that's college, not the NFL.
It's supposed to be sloppy.
I don't know what else to say. There was that game was, I was not expecting.
Lucas, he doesn't look like he has any tenacity when he's playing either, too. Like, in the run blocking department, he's just like giving a light shove. And
For anybody who can't see the video feed, Alex was pantomiming, almost kind of like playing like patty cake, like a cat.
I was doing my best
like
Cornelius Lucas impression, basically.
This isn't a visual medium, so yeah, I apologize.
Alex was a cat on a scratching post.
Yep, that's
so me. I guess I'm jumping ahead to the questions here, but once again, it is blame time in the Motor City. So how much of that can we really blame on, like, once again, this is always the funniest thing.
Play the blame game, guys.
Yeah, let's play the blame game.
Let's
all of us should put the blame on one specific point.
Yeah,
like, Chris, go.
I had a whole screed about why this is unique to football and why we do this, but yeah, no. I hate you for doing this to me.
I'll go first. Yeah, the Ford family.
Yes, I don't like to blame people.
The Ford family?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm
blaming the entire ownership.
This is systemic. This is going to be a right long to podcast. Everybody get comfortable. get in your chairs and get situated.
That's where Alex it starts, about to go man. That's the number family. One. I'm sorry.
Okay, but why the Ford family? Hold on. Can we like narrow and focus our scope? Like, who was to blame for the Minnesota loss?
No one.
For the Minnesota loss?
Confluence of things. Like, this is it about football. Like, all sorts of things happen at any given time. Like, Lucas, like, we just talked about, like, eight different people. We didn't even mention the coaching staff at all, which apparently people want to fire the middle managers, which is like, okay. I guess, I mean, that's what happens in the NFL, right? Like, if something breaks down, you don't blame the head coach right away. It's just, you know, blame the coordinators. They are the least popular people in town, and they are the ones that you feel most comfortable blaming because you don't know any better. And I'm not defending
from the norm. Sorry, I'm going to go away from the norm, and I'm going to actually blame the players for the lack of execution, because you cannot have two fumbles, Stafford throwing an interception basically two plays in a row because one was taken back, and then he just throws it right at the chest of the defender the next play. So, I mean, blame is everywhere, but I'm going to say the players this time.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to focus in on one specific group, and I was going to say the offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it starts. Like, you can't run your offense if that line is just made of paper mache. Like, you can't get any runs going. I still don't know why Abdullah's not getting the ball more. And, yeah.
Nobody got the ball at all in the run game.
Yeah.
Hey, but Calvin got a bunch of targets. How did that work out for us
like
last week?
17 or something? 17 targets?
Yeah, yeah.
For only 83 yards?
Touchdown.
Progress.
Touchdown. Yeah, I mean, that touchdown was amazing, yeah.
Okay, well, me being Mr. Optimism, you know who looked really good, though? Matt Stafford, after he threw that pick to the defensive lineman, he reacted pretty quickly. And he, like, the tackle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, so, I mean, maybe he can fill in for Levy.
Okay.
He's about big enough to do it, too. Matthew
Stafford.
Back to
the offensive line. Who would have thought that Manny Ramirez would be our best offensive lineman right now when we thought that Lakin Tomlinson was going to be the starting left guard?
Yeah, Lakin needs more seasoning. He's going to need a while to get ready. Like, I know people want to, like, draft more offensive linemen again, but, like, that's something you've got to wait and season in the oven.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like, we have to think about it. Like, I mean, like, the Manny Ramirez trade, it was a great trade because we were able to acquire a veteran who can fill in this gap. Like, imagine if we wouldn't have made that trade. Like, if the Lions would have been like, we can't really find anything we want. We're just going to take the guy we want, Lincoln Tomlinson.
If they would have got the first guy that they wanted in Nelson Aguilar, our offensive line would be even worse.
No.
And we'd be throwing to more targets, but Stafford would be dying in the process.
We should move on. Like,
yeah,
this
let's
is just,
go.
I was terrified playing the blame game, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm like,
no, it's fine. It's fine. This is your first podcast, and we found a grim time to really start it. So let's talk about the next week. So speaking of more grim things, the Denver Broncos, you know, Peyton Manning, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware. There's just so many things. We didn't even talk much about Stafford's injury. Like, he's not going to look right in this game. The rest of the way Stafford's going to play hurt, right? Until
they gotta get the ball out early.
Yeah,
plain
like,
and simple.
Stafford's going to keep playing hurt until someone finally like breaks a rib or something on him.
Like, they have to run like screens on both sides and a screen up the middle. Like, they have to just get the ball out right away, or else Stafford's gonna.
Well,
take another
speaking
beating.
Of that, like, I mean, you at least have Waddle back on that offensive line, so, and I think you'll probably have Caron Reed back, maybe DeAndre Levy, but I don't think, we just established earlier, it doesn't look like he's coming back if he didn't play Thursday.
Hopefully Wolford will look better too. Like, hopefully just coming back from that injury, that was just a little bit of rust.
Yeah, so, I mean, you do have some pieces back, so maybe you get something. So what are we expecting from the guys coming back, like Caron Reed? What do you expect from him back?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead, Alex.
Okay, well, I mean, Reed is more of a pass rusher, so I don't think he's going to really help in the run game. I mean, that's where we're struggling right now. I mean, we do need to pressure the quarterback, but we're also just getting hammered in the run game. So I don't really expect him to help out a lot in that department. But, I mean, if we can get him to third and long and have Peyton try to throw the ball, then...
Yeah, like that works right up until you tell me the one throwing a third and long is Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's like a little bit of optimism there is Peyton Manning is bad right now. Yeah. He's throwing under 60%.
But he'll be playing in a dome. He'll be playing in a dome. That's
yeah, but he can't feel his fingers.
Yeah, that terrified me when I heard that. Just as far as like basic humanity, like my God, you're playing
against like, I would not fingers. Be comfortable with that at all.
Yeah.
Like when Chris earlier, when you said three names for the Denver Broncos. You said Peyton Manning, Von Miller. You said DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
When you said those three names, the two latter were the ones that scared me the most, and right, that those just two made me that just made me realize that like it's 2015. Like Peyton Manning is getting old, and he's obviously showing signs of wear. I mean, he's still Peyton Manning. He can still game, but like. The things I've seen from DeMarcus Ware, he looks like vintage DeMarcus Ware, and Von Miller is just an absolute terror.
Von Miller.
Like the offensive line needs to step it up, or those two are just going to eat.
Oh, I mean they're gonna feast. I mean, everybody should know that Denver has the number one rated pass defense in the entire league, and I mean it's just because they generate a ton of pressure, and they have some pretty skilled players in the secondary. You know, T.J. Ward and Aqib Talib and. It's not gonna get any easier, guys. No, like, it might be 0-3.
Yeah, I mean, but again, we said during the early part of the season, if this team goes 0-4, that's a possibility we've got to be ready for. And we're still mad at them for doing it.
Football Outsiders has Denver as the number one defense in the NFL, and it's not even close, especially in the pass defense department. I don't know if anybody likes the DVOA stats, but they're a minus 82%, which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. So just to put that in perspective, Stafford. Who's number two on there? Is that Carolina at minus 48.3%?
Yep. Wow.
No, it's Oakland.
I hope you're looking at that.
No, actually, wait, hold up. Pass defense. Yeah. it's just pulled up. Sorry. I was looking down farther and I screwed up a minus sign. Yes, it is Carolina at 40. Like there's about a good 34% difference between Carolina and Denver.
Pretty large gap. And then the Jets are the number two defense, doing well on rushing defense and passing defense.
Yeah, I can't trust the Jets there. That's
But they look all right. I mean, their offense isn't great with Fitzpatrick, but you know
they're forcing turnovers. You know,
that's
what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, we're not. Go ahead.
Can we let's talk about the line right now. The Broncos are favored by 3, and the Lions are playing at home.
Yeah, that I'm actually worried about home field like atmosphere. In this game, like usually you can expect Ford Field in the past few years to be pretty good about noise and everything, but
they're going to start off being loud. I think they're going to be like the normal Ford Field crowd. But if things turn around and doing bad in the second half, you're going to hear a lot of boos.
I wouldn't even wait for the second half. I'd wait for like the first, I'd say like the first major blunder from the offense.
Yeah, you might be right.
Like people are on pins and needles about the Lions right now because they're not
a lot
like,
of expectations, man.
Yeah, I mean the last 3 years have built up expectations in such a way that the idea of the Lions losing 3 of their first games is just unfathomable to a lot of people.
Could be worse. We could have Jimmy Clausen as our starting quarterback.
Oh God, the claw fence.
So what's next on the docket? I didn't mean to derail everything by bringing up Jimmy Clausen's name.
Let's do picks, I guess, since we're here.
Okay.
I think I had... Oh, you don't like that idea?
I mean, we can do it. It's just, like, more depressing stuff. I just want to talk about
fun things.
The
Lions are going to win this because NFL.
Whoa! Hey-o!
No, my only justification to that pick is saying because NFL. Weird bleep happens in the NFL.
Hey, they're at home? They're at home? Maybe.
Look, the Raiders beat the Ravens last week, all right? You cannot tell me that it's impossible for the Lions to win this.
I mean, the Ravens are honestly pretty close to the Lions because their offense is terrible. They have an okay defense. I would say they have a good defense, but
yeah,
they're kind of similar to the Lions.
That's fair enough. Alex, what's your prediction, though?
I'm going to have to say the Broncos because I'm hoping that I am the jinx, and then that will mean that the Lions win. I'm going to say the Broncos will even blow the Lions out. I predicted 31-13.
Oh, so you're laying the points.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I have Denver 35-21, so.
Yikes. I'm the optimist here now, I guess.
That's good. Somebody needs to be.
Someone has to
be. Do a little rotation here.
We should probably move on to reader questions. This is a shorter podcast. We're only going to be doing about like 40 minutes or so. We've got a lot of questions, and I feel like this is like the meaty part of the podcast we really want to get into because everything else is just depressing.
And we're doing this for you guys, you know?
We are. And by the way, note for the future, too, you can send us questions about everything, anything, like our personal lives, food, beer, fantasy questions. I will direct them to Ryan Matthews, who writes those amazing FanDuel advice for you.
You could direct them to me too, but I can't promise that it will be very insightful.
Alex, you lost your mother.
Wait, hold on. No. Yeah, if we should direct, you know, anybody to getting some fantasy advice, it should be Alex Reno's mother, who, you know, she can give you some sound advice. I'll let Alex divulge her contact information in case you want to get in touch.
So the backstory, I think, is that Alex had Adrian Peterson week one, and she had Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde. And, of course, he gets injured in week two. So he has, like, the best game of his career by far against me and then just is nothing week two. Whatever. Let's not talk about this.
But I was just bringing it up because I remember Ryan Matthews, your advice on one of those FanDuel posts was basically like, it's the Jaguars.
It's the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And how'd that go, by the way? Miami lost that game.
Ryan Tannehill, I think it was?
Yes.
Hold on. Tannehill had a pretty good game.
He did.
Tannehill had a good game. Look, I don't know if I... I don't think I suggested you play Lamar Miller. Jarvis Landry had a decent game. The Dolphins defense...
I like Jarvis Landry a lot.
I have Jordan Cameron, and I'm so disappointed with what
has he even played this year? Can we confirm that he's played football?
He played
because
I got some points from him.
Okay,
but yeah,
because I thought he was gone.
Well, I mean, I did such an awful job in suggesting players for you to play in week two. My suggestions were so awful that you should probably check out my week three article, which is me telling you players that you shouldn't play.
Yeah, just fade him across the board there. Go completely against his advice. But, I mean, those questions, Lions questions, we have a lot of Lions questions. A lot of them are basically asking us to blame various people on the coaching staff. And, again, like, I don't – this is a positive place. This isn't supposed to be us yelling about Terrell Austin or Joe Lombardi or – someone want us to blame Martin Mayhew? Which, like, chill.
Go for it. Blame whoever you want, guys.
Yep. You know,
I'm not
going to
argue with you anymore.
You know, there's something about Steven Tulloch here.
Whatever makes you feel more comfortable in your Lions snuggie at night.
Let's start at least with a decent question. Like, this one I actually really liked because I've been kind of... I think we have some very different answers to this. So the first one I want to tackle is, should... And this, of course, came to us in a very negative light. It was basically like, look, if the team's going to be this bad, I at least want to watch cheerleaders. Why do the Lions not have cheerleaders?
Should they have cheerleaders? Do we have an attribution for whoever posted this?
Yeah, let me find it, actually. That is a great idea. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Carolina Lion Ryan.
Okay.
Are we sure that's not Ryan Matthews?
Carolina Lion Ryan.
No, Ryan doesn't live in Carolina.
Okay.
No,
I'm just...
I don't.
Know.
All right, cool, Alex. Do you want to tackle this question first?
I thought that this was the easiest question of them all, so obviously, yes, the Lions should have cheerleaders. If they're that bad, you can at least stare at something good.
Oh, great. Ryan's moved away from this, so I can't even ask him. He's bailed on this. I'm saying no. Like, it's 2015. There's really no reason to have...
You're absolutely wrong.
Like, I... Look, I... That is, it's just such a meathead thing to have cheerleaders in the NFL, especially ones that is like that's not even like, maybe it's because I got so used to college. I don't know. I just, the idea of watching cheerleaders on the sideline of an NFL game just seems like scuzzy. And, you know, maybe it's because
Dallas has their own show about it.
Ah, but that's Dallas. I don't want to be Dallas.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was a terrible thing to say.
Like, I just, yeah, it's 2015. I know you can say political correctness gone wrong or whatever, but, like, man, like, I hang around with enough women who really like the NFL, and you want to turn them off, like, real quick, you just point out the cheerleaders, because there's just no ways around it. I know the Lions even, I think, have, like, an unofficial cheerleader squad. Don't they? Like,
really?
I don't, there's no idea. A Detroit Pride or something like that. Like, I've seen their stuff, but I mean, plus what, I mean, there's really no real way to make a good outfit for that too. Like, what are you gonna, like, the best cheerleaders, you at least have like an outfit idea. Like, it's like Pirates or Vikings or for the Jaguars. Yeah. Like, but there's nothing for the Lions. It's
put just a tail on them, put the fur. No.
Are we going to an NFL game or a strip club?
No comment.
Yeah, I guess
I don't know.
Ryan, you're the breaker on this one here.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you want to have cheerleaders, why don't you just stick them in the family fun zone that they have in Ford Field, where you're not allowed to have alcohol either? So, I mean, you can at least entertain like the, you know, the 40-year-old dad who has to bring their, you know, son to a game and isn't allowed to enjoy. Yeah, he isn't allowed to enjoy. Hold on. He can avert the child's eyes, but I'm just saying, like, if he's not allowed to enjoy in some adult suds, like, he should be able to, you know, look at scantily clad women. Well, hold on. So cheerleaders aren't the worst thing, though. I mean, you could be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, like, launched, like, the most embarrassingly, like, sexist initiative to help women try to understand football. I mean, like, let's teach you how to
read.
Why don't we get,
what's a play clock? Okay, we'll teach you what a play clock is.
That was bad. Why don't we just do, like NBA teams, have, like, a dance squad or something? Something that isn't just as, you know,
risque.
Something a little more just, like, artistically based without having to...
Step squad or the step team?
What is it for the Pistons? What is it? The,
dance squad.
Was it?
I don't remember.
I forget. I don't know. But, I mean, they're cool. I think one point to bring up, though, is that, like, I mean, Alex did say that the Cowboy cheerleaders have their own show. I mean, the Cowboys are worth $4 billion, while the Lions are, like, what, like,
1.30? They're 30th.
They're worth, like, roughly a little over, like, $1 billion. I mean...
Yeah.
One of them has cheerleaders and the other one doesn't. Next question, Alec. Next question, Chris.
Okay, fine.
Question,
so let's get to this one. This is from TC Lion. Question, is a lack of a quality backup quarterback the reason Stafford is staying on the field? Obviously, this is coming because Stafford is hurt and everything, or maybe they just want to see someone else in there, not named Stafford playing, but...
That's a pretty good question, actually.
It is, but, I mean, that's one that takes a little bit of, like, you have to look beyond. This isn't just a problem with the Lions. This is a problem across the NFL. Like, who was it? I think the New York Times had a great article about, you know, some guys in the NFL talking about, like, there's not a lot of good quarterbacks, NFL-ready quarterbacks, and they were attributing it to college, but, I mean, that's always been the way it is. It's not a college
thing. Not enough good quarterbacks to fill out starting roles.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're looking to the backup, and here's the other thing about the backup, too. Like, they don't get first-team reps ever. They never see snaps with the first team, even in, like, preseason or practice or any other times where it's like, yeah, take it off, you can do it. Like, even when Tom Brady was quote-unquote suspended, Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't seeing first team snaps that much. Like, those starters in the NFL, they defend their snaps because no one wants to end up like Drew Bledsoe. Like, no one wants to end up in that place where, you know, the backup comes in and they lose their job just like
Tony
that.
Tony Romo.
Yes, exactly. Like, I remember watching a Pittsburgh Steelers game last year where I can't remember if Roethlisberger got a concussion or his hand got mangled or something, but he went out for a drive. and they put in Brad Gradkowski, Toledo quarterback.
Is it Bruce?
Bruce Gradkowski, my bad, B names. But he went in for a drive, and he put together a remarkable drive. He, like, got them charging down the field in a really bad Steelers year. And Roethlisberger immediately put himself back in the red zone and threw an interception. And I can guarantee you, in Roethlisberger's mind, he was thinking, you know what? Better that interception than letting Gradkowski get a touchdown. Like, those, it's the talent fall off is huge, and no one wants to lose their job to the backup.
What was the original question, Chris?
Oh, is lack of a quality backup quarterback the reason Stafford is staying on the field?
No, it's because Stafford obviously wanted to continue playing, and I think Dan Orlovsky would have came in if Matt Stafford wasn't able to play.
Yeah, that's the other part of this equation. Your backup is safety Dan.
Safety Dan, I like it. And
well, he's not danger. I mean,
You're paying Stafford so much money. Stafford is like the toughest dude. Like, he doesn't look like the toughest dude ever, but he is the toughest dude ever, and he will lie to you if he has to stay on that field.
Absolutely. Like, I was with a group of guys, and we were watching the game last week, and they kept on just remarking, like, man, Stafford's, you know, such a weakling. Like, I can't believe that, you know.
Hit after hit.
I was like, are you watching, like, our turnstile?
Oh, my God. I would have punched that guy in the face.
I was like, our offensive line looks like a turnstile in, like, a New York subway. Like, I mean, it's just, like, you know, Stafford's not to blame. He's taking a beating back there. Like, every time you looked back there, he was sitting on the turf, and it's like, cut the guy a break. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's going to be out there for a reason. Trust me, no team wants to go to their backup quarterback. I mean,
despite the backup being the most popular guy on the team, always.
Yep, that's always that acronym, but I don't think that is definitely a, you know, be careful what you wish for kind of thing, because once you see the backups, you realize why they are the backups.
Right. I mean, unless a miracle happens in Tennessee and Sean Hill.
Yeah. And again, everyone Sean thinks Hill. That they've got like Kurt Warner or Tom Brady on the bench. And those things are just so.
We had a point there where I was feeling comfortable with Sean Hill and Drew Stanton. Like, we had some pretty quality backups.
Oh, God, Drew Stanton. Hey.
All right, Chris, next question.
Yeah.
We're getting into Drew Stanton talk.
Drew Stanton.
Stanton.
No, I mean, that's really, your Sparty showing itself. That's your Sparty showing itself right there.
Go green, what?
actually, my favorite question here from BBD82. Pizza, subs, or wings?
Okay, I'm going first. Pizza, thank you. Pizza number one. Everything else doesn't matter.
Yeah, Alex, can you tell us why pizza over everything?
Pizza. well, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's the greatest food of all time. You can get it New York style, Chicago style. Detroit style is pretty good.
Chicago isn't pizza. Chicago style isn't a pizza.
Excuse me, it's pizza.
It is a cheese pie.
Anyway, pizza. Next person.
Chris, right? Why don't you... Well, Chris, you go.
Okay. I'm really trying to think about this because I love a good, really hot sub, especially if it's like an Italian that's like baked real well with really good like capicola and pepperoni and salami. But man, I love wings. I love wings. Like, it's hard to find good ones. People keep frying them and I just bake them real well. And I have some real good stuff I add to them. Man, this is... I'm going to go subs on this. Like, I love wings. They're great, but I feel better at the end of the day with a good Italian.
How do you feel about pizza? Can you at least tell me how you feel about pizza?
Oh, I love pizza. I'm Italian. Right. I mean, my family's Italian. Like, you know, I've got a French last name, but my mother's side's like pure.
Yeah, I was going to say Chris Lemieux, not Italian. Yeah,
no, my mother's maiden name is Perfett from Perfetto before they came over on the boat. So, yeah, we actually make like home pizzas. Like, I love pizza, but I love a sub. Just a little more.
All right, we're go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, so both of you guys are wrong. It's clearly the chicken wing. The chicken wing is the
best. Wait, boneless or bone in?
Well, You know, Alex, you kind of use that as part of your argument, like, oh, I can have a bunch of different styles of pizza. The chicken wing is versatile.
You got to do
bone in, bone out. You know,
except I absolutely hate bone in. I have to go bone.
Okay, well then, guess what?
I should kick you off.
Go get your Mike's lemonade, and you can drink. Mike's hard lemonade and have your boneless chicken wings.
I've only touched the Miller Lite and the Shiner. Okay.
All right, but let me tell you. If anybody has ever been to Sweetwater in Detroit, they have the absolute best bone-in wings. It's like a house recipe. Just think about all the ways that you can have wings. Like,
yes,
they can be naked, they can be dredged, they can be sauced, they can be smoked. Like, I mean, you can have like awful like commercial wings at Buffalo Wild Wings, or you can find a place like Sweetwater who has like the best things that you'll ever taste in your entire life.
Wings. I mean, I like subs and wings. Let me throw that out there.
Oh, I mean Buffalo Wild Wings isn't really bad. Close. Like, they're close. They're close, but I mean, you guys are both wrong. Like, chicken wings are the best.
Chicken wings. Have you tried Wingstop? That's pretty
solid. I have. Their lemon pepper wings are legit.
I've never had Wingstop.
They're original.
Where are Wingstops? Are they
There's
in Michigan
one here
or
in
no?
Toledo. It's a chain from like down south.
They just started opening around here, I believe. There's one that just opened near my house.
Their world famous
recently.
One's lemon pepper. You have to get the lemon pepper sometime. Like, that's their most famous wing.
Don't think I've tried that yet.
A bonus question from him: craft beer, hard cider, or blank? Considering we're all drinking beer here, I think that's the answer. But I love a good Moscow Mule. Let's do.
I like the beer.
Yeah, who doesn't? A couple more questions here. Let's see. Do we want to do? Let's do the Kyle Van Noy one I had lined up.
Let's do that one.
Serious one from question. Critical Perspective. What's the story with Kyle Van Noy? Apparently, he only played 6 snaps on defense last game. Is he injured or just ineffective?
See, I thought, like, he had one pass rushing snap, and that was the play that Teddy Bridgewater dumped the ball off to Adrian Peterson for 49 yards.
Yes.
I thought he absolutely plowed through the fullback and looked great on that play. So I don't know why he's not in the game that much, especially considering how terrible our linebackers have been. Actually, they were pretty good. Well, they were okay against Minnesota, but I thought he should have been in the game.
Did we ever figure out, like, what the problem was with Kyle Van Noy, like, when he was out with that mysterious ailment in the preseason?
I'm not sure. It looked like a concussion, but I don't think it was a concussion.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, because I was writing a bunch of those injury reports, and I can't remember what happened there.
I don't know. I think, wasn't there, like, speculation about it being, like, a hernia, and then
it wasn't the sports hernia. It wasn't the sports hernia, but it was stemming from a core muscle surgery that he had had.
Yeah, I'm seeing that right now, core muscle.
But, that's kind of generic. That could be anything.
But, I mean, he came back and he was looking pretty good.
Yeah. So, I don't know what it is. Maybe they're just kind of easing him back in, hoping he doesn't break something again.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like the coaching staff seems to be just in love with Josh Bynes. I mean,
Josh. Yeah, they have all these packages that they're working out, apparently. And there was another question I thought I saw in the comment section about why Tulloch only played about 1/4 of the snaps.
Yeah, like, that's in there too. From Lions fan displaced in Las Vegas.
Yes. Read that question.
Okay, why was Tulloch out for 1/4 of the plays on defense? Coaches say it was from the packages they were running, but it makes no sense to have Tulloch out in the game versus a running team. Blah, da, 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 da. So let's just answer that, I guess.
See, I think he kind of answered his own question there. I think it has to do a lot with the packages. I mean, Tulloch is probably one of our worst linebackers in coverage. He is an amazing run defender, but I can't confirm this, but I thought I saw Tahir Whitehead maybe coming in playing a little bit of middle linebacker when they pulled Tully, and he is probably our best coverage linebacker, so I thought that might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe. I wasn't too thrilled with Tulloch this week, but I mean,
He was bad week one, but I thought he kind of turned it up a notch.
Yeah, he was better this week, but
right. I mean, I don't know if anybody cares about Pro Football Focus or anything, but I believe he was a plus 2.5 as a run defender. So
yeah, there wasn't many pluses with the Lions. So you know, yeah, get what you get. No.
I mean, it could be another case. You know, we talked about Adrian Peterson maybe knocking off the rust of not playing for an entire year.
Yeah, I mean, it
might be the
awesome.
Same thing with Tulloch, you know?
All right, one last question, and I'm almost terrified to read this one because I told you got this thing off air and you guys both reacted with disgust to it. So Northern Light asks, is Matt Ryan better than Matt Stafford? That says everything right there, that sigh.
Hold on. I think this is a good way to answer the question. Matt Stafford is the devil we know, so let's just stick with him.
But, I mean, if someone came to you tomorrow and said straight up, would you trade Matt Stafford for Matt?
No, I would not trade, no.
No, I wouldn't do it.
I'm kind of fascinated by this, if only because, like, both are, like, quarterbacks who are passing who are vastly predicated on having really good receivers to work with. You know, Stafford's always had Johnson and now Tate. And
Matt Ryan has a much, much better resume. Statistics, results. But I just feel bad for Stafford right now for having such a terrible offensive line and such a terrible offensive coordinator with a terrible offensive scheme.
I mean, they're both in that same class of quarterback, right? It's like you are going to be serviceable, but you're not going to be the final answer for this football team. You're not going to be the long-term, you know, build the franchise around you type of quarterback.
And I absolutely hate the Matty Ice nickname. Like, he chokes in the playoffs. I'm sorry. End of story.
Well, I mean, I think I would actually, like, contend that point, though, Chris. I mean, both of these guys definitely are franchise quarterbacks. Like, I think that both of these guys are in places right now where their franchises, respectively, both expect them to be the guy who makes the difference. Like,
right, but, I mean, you're talking about, like, what is it? Stafford's contract goes up to about 2017. I need to look up when Matt Ryan's contract expires. Like, but after that time, do you see the Lions extending Stafford? Like,
it all depends, really.
He's the devil you know. I mean,
Matt,
like,
Ryan's an unrestricted free agent in 2019, so.
Yep. I don't know. I don't think that you're going to – I mean, what good quarterbacks ever hit free agency? The answer to that question is zero.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, unless you're gonna expend a draft pick on a quarterback in the first round, like we did, a la Stafford, like, I mean, you're really rolling the dice.
Can we think of any quarterbacks that are good? I mean, all I can think of is Peyton Manning, and it's because he was old.
Like right now, that are like really good.
No, like any recent quarterbacks that hit the free agent market that were good.
Oh, I feel like that was like a controlled situation. Like, he was able to dictate like where he was going and everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and I mean, I don't know how.
But I guess the question
the
there
Colts
is
wanted
like,
him because of that neck injury too.
I'm just not sold that.
I think that's the special context too. Like, I mean, Peyton was coming off of like all the surgery, and I mean, things are going kind of awry right now. But like, yeah, that's a special situation.
Like, I'm just not sold that. You know, give enough years to Matt Stafford with what he's been building up, and like he'll still be that, like, that you'll extend him into like past his mid-30s or something. But I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, no decent quarterback hits the free agent market like that, just because, again, quarterbacks are so rare. I'm just kind of trying to be like crazy forward thinking about football when NFL teams are just kind of very very hidebound. But we should probably wrap this up here. We're about the 48 minute mark. Do we have any? Want to get one more question in, or are you guys good?
Let's do one more question. Let's do one more question.
Okay, one more question here. TJW Go Blue.
Oh, I like that guy.
Yeah, you like that a lot, I'm sure.
No, he's a good guy.
Oh, okay. I thought you were making something out there because Sparty. But
no, minus the Michigan fandom part. He's a nice guy.
Okay, he asks, I guess I'd be curious how you all feel after two games so far about the coaching. Let me modify that and lop off the about the coaching. Just how we feel about the Lions after two games.
See, I don't even know how to answer that now, actually.
Okay, Ryan, you want to ask about the coaching, go ahead. I don't care.
No, Ryan, you answer this first. I'm still...
What's the question? How I feel about the Lions after two games?
How do you feel about the
games?
Team after the start?
Yeah.
I don't think the word disappointed. I don't think that applies.
I do.
I mean, because I think. Ahead. Okay, well, I'm answering it, Alex. So there's
apologies. Go ahead.
There's serious tension here between Mr. Reno and myself. But anyways. I don't think disappointed is the way I would describe it. I don't think I would say expected either, though, because I did expect them to at least split the first two games, because I did think that the Denver and Seattle games were going to be difficult. I wholly didn't expect when I made the 10-6 prediction at the beginning of the year that the team would start 0-4, because that is one tough mountain to climb when you still play Green Bay twice this year.
And Aaron Rodgers looks still like a god. Even
he's the best.
Nelson.
I mean,
the last time he threw an interception was like 2012 at home.
Yeah.
I mean, any question that anybody had of who was the best quarterback in the NFL, it's Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not completely demoralized by losing the first two games on the road to teams that, I mean, are better than your average NFL team. Chargers might contend for a playoff spot. The Vikings definitely looked vulnerable against San Francisco, but I mean, everybody thought they'd be contenders in the NFC North to maybe at least move in for like a wild card spot. So this week is very crucial for the Lions to pick up a win. I mean, 0-3 and heading to Seattle.
Home opener,
I mean,
man.
That's yeah, home opener. I mean, it's an 0-4 start would virtually be a stamp of non-playoff participation. But I don't know, not disappointed, kind of unexpected, but I don't know. Let's see how the Sunday night game goes.
Sure. Alex?
Right. Well, when I made my predictions, I actually had the Lions winning their first two games and losing to Denver and Seattle, so I'm a little bit disappointed. I predicted them to go 11-5, so it's probably not going to happen, but who knows. I'm disappointed, but kind of have a little optimism. We still have 8 home games left. We lost 2 road games. I don't know. I guess I'm disappointed.
So I've been going on the radio and here in Toledo with Jim Cushlin of 106.5, and we broke down the schedule in like the week before, like the Friday before the first game against San Diego. And he pretty much assumed that the Lions were going to start this probably 1-3. But, you know, he looked and saw us them rallying late in the year. And I just looked at the time like, yeah, I could see that. But then I just sat down and thought about, like, you don't really get to rally that much in the NFL. The NFL is a really cruel league in that regard, in that you just you have some bad breaks. But then otherwise, it's just so random. Like, who could have, like, it was so hard to glean anything from these first 2 weeks, because suddenly the Vikings go from looking just inept to like good, and vice versa happens to the 49ers. Meanwhile, the Raiders somehow like beat the Ravens, who were crushing the Broncos.
Like,
and
if you thought you knew these teams, you were wrong. Basically,
I still
like,
don't
I
think we know the Lions.
Was
no.
Yeah, I was completely caught off guard by like everything that happened week 1 and 2 around the entire NFL.
Yeah, so I don't think the Lions are any that different. So I would just say, I am intrigued That is probably the best word, because look, either way that goes from here, the Lions are going to be bad and I'm going to be writing about them, or they're going to be decent and I'm going to be writing about them. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't get NFL. I don't get too upset on Sundays anymore. I think when I bought into the Lions as my fan base, like I knew this was going to happen. Like the Lions, yeah, just
you almost just feel numb to everything. Like I get more upset if my Spartans lose because I'm just so used to the Lions, and it's sad to say.
I mean, I got upset when, like, you're playing for something. I got upset about Dallas in the playoffs, but like during the regular season, if this happens, this is just. Like, I think I put it on Twitter basically is like, look, you know, this marriage will try you sometimes. You will come home and the kitchen will be on fire. And, you know, you could tell her like, look, honey, let's just get takeout. But she tries so hard to cook that meal that you just gotta let the Lions cook sometimes. And if they burn down the house, so be it. That's what you have insurance for.
All I have to say, I guess, is let's wait until they play their first home game.
Oh, man.
And then we can talk about it.
I mean, yeah, we'll have a better idea after, like, week four.
We played two road games. Winning on the road is hard enough.
We knew this start.
San Diego Chargers are pretty good. Vikings are good, sort of. Like, so we'll see.
Yeah, like, everything up until the Bears in week six is just brutal on the teams we play.
Who do we have? Seahawks in Arizona?
Cardinals, yeah.
Well, we have three home games in a row. You know, Arizona, Chicago, Minnesota, and, you know...
Actually, four Chiefs.
Well, no, well, I mean, that's a neutral field game in
London. That's right, that's the London game. Yeah,
no, but I mean... I think that counts as an away game, too, so...
No, it is an away game. So, I mean, we've already played two of our away games, and one of them's on a neutral field. We do get a bye week We get a bye week after the London game, you know, and then we get to travel to Green Bay, and I know Green Bay isn't on a bye week the same week, so, I mean, they'll be coming off of, you know, a normal week's rest where we, you know, we'll have 2 weeks rest. I mean, the second half of the schedule, I mean, it looks a lot better than the first half. But, like, I mean, we do have to pick up a couple wins here. And, you know, Denver doesn't look like it's going to be likely. Seattle doesn't look like it's going to be likely.
Here's the other thing, too. You look at some of the other teams that had playoff aspirations at the start of the year. Yeah, Seattle's 0-2. The Eagles look completely lost.
I'm excited for that.
The Cowboys have lost their star quarterback and their star wide receiver. Like, the Colts are 0-2. Like, there's people in the same position as the Detroit Lions.
Yep. Colts, Ravens, sure.
Saints are 0-2.
Saints. Drew Brees is looking like Peyton Manning right now.
And we get to play the Saints later in the year.
Yep.
So that's fun.
That's fun.
I think that's fun should be the note we end this on. So let's get this out here. We're on iTunes now, by the way. Check it out there. I forgot to mention that at the start.
We are?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's on iTunes. Awesome.
Subscribe right now.
Yeah, I'm going to get this show on Stitcher here pretty soon. I'm looking at Spreaker. Which I don't know if people use Spreaker, but people tell me I've got to put it on Spreaker. So what the hell do I know? Let's put it on Spreaker.
Hey, Chris, can we find the Pride of Detroit on iTunes?
Search for Pride of Detroit on iTunes. I think that's really about...
one last Twitter plug? Or did we even... I don't think we did the Twitter plugs
No, we didn't do
yet.
Twitter plugs.
We haven't done Twitter plugs yet. I'm trying to figure out how to search for
person.
Go ahead and do your Twitter plugs while I'm figuring this out.
Yes, I am shameless because I just got 800 followers today. I'm trying to get 1,000. At Alex_Reno, thank you. Follow me.
At Malkovich Plan for myself, please. I just got above 300, so I'm feeling decent. I'm trying to get up on your level. But yeah, if you just...
Wow, you guys are way ahead of me. I'm at Ryan_POD. I have 14 followers. that is my Pride of Detroit account.
You have a second account.
I have a second account, but I mean, I'm an educator, so that one is private. So unless I know you, you're gonna get access to that. But
and then so basically just
at Ryan_POD.
I just search Pride of Detroit SB Nation on iTunes. It will probably pop up. There's only episode number 2 on there. I haven't put number 1 on there because I'm still figuring out Blog Talk Radio, but this one will be on there. So don't worry about that. We'll see you all next week, everyone, and give feedback in the comments on pridedetroit.com and keep reading our stuff. We love y'all.